Men will break their covenant when it's dependent on them, right? So he needed to make a way that the covenant that he would make with us had nothing to do with us, right? That's the only way that he would know that we would perpetually forever be blessed. That's the only way that he would know that he could make it in such a way that our salvation could be sure. That's the only way that God knew that he could make it so that the surety of the covenant could not be us. It had to be Jesus, right? It could not be us. It had to be Jesus. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, because obviously if we were part of that, it would not be a perfect agreement, right? But because Jesus is the surety of the better covenant, that we have a perfect covenant with God, a covenant that cannot be broken by anyone, a covenant that cannot be diminished by anyone, a covenant that cannot be annulled, that can't be lessened by the works of men, right? And because he is the surety of that covenant, who you have been made already has nothing to do with what you've done, right? In other words, what you do doesn't change who you are. That's an important thing to remember and to know, right? What you do does not change who you are. Who you are, you will forever be a new creation, right? The new creation that you have been made, you cannot be undone, but the reason why it cannot be undone because of the reason why you have made a new creation, right? You weren't made a new creation because of your works. You were made a new creation because of the works of Jesus, right? So because your new creationness, right, has to do with what he has done, right? Because what you have received as becoming a new creation came through the covenant that you have with God. And because that covenant is unbreakable, right? It's unbreakable. Here's something we would know. It is impossible for God to lie, right? Therefore, the breaking of this covenant would never be on God's part, right? Would never be on God's part. And we know that the first covenant was broken on the part of men, on our part, right? So the fact that this new covenant, the surety of it, is based on Jesus, you know that we have a covenant with God that is an unbreakable covenant. It's unbreakable and it's unchangeable, right? So what is in effect today in my life, in this covenant that I have with God, will be in effect forever. What is true about the covenant that I have with God is true today or true tomorrow if I mess up royally in some other way, right? If I do something to someone, if I say something to someone, if I commit an act, right, that I don't agree with, that is part of an old nature that I am not of, a part of old thinking that is not mine today, it doesn't change a bit of the covenant agreement that I have with God today. Doesn't change my blessedness, right? David said the blessedness of a man. He said that we would be able to see the blessedness that we have, we whose sins God does not hold against him. In other words, the very fact that in this covenant, the basis of it is the forgiveness of sins based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, how could my works affect that covenant? Because the very works that I do are the very works that God, the very sin that I commit is the very sin that God said that he has forgiven and would remember no more. So if the very sin that I could commit is the very thing that God has forgiven and does not remember, how could my works have any impact on this covenant? So the more and more that you begin to think about the covenant that you have with God, this new covenant that every Christian says that they live in, how could it be that we would ever accept a doctrine from any pastor, no matter how well-meaning and no matter how much that pastor loves God, right? How could we ever accept a doctrine that tells people that your works come into at all into your blessedness? That somehow that if you teach people to take care of the things that they have, that God, because they take care of the things that they have, God will entrust them with more. The reality, and I was just talking to my son about this, the reality is that there is something interesting about a Christian as he begins to know God more and more, that you will notice in a person that continues to know Jesus more and more, that they like order. They like order. They don't like disorder. But don't ever confuse the desire that you have towards order with thinking that it is a requirement to receive from the covenant you have with God, right? We confuse feelings and desires that we have towards things, and we think that those are the things that enable us to receive something from God. When if we could just teach just the gospel and the gospel alone, and allow people to see the things that we possess because of everything Jesus Christ has done, you would notice that things like cleanliness, things like order in the life, things like improved marriages, all of these benefits that you want people to have in their lives, all this good stuff that you want people to have in their lives, comes as a result of their faith in Jesus, right? It doesn't come because of something that we could ever do, but comes as a result of their faith in Jesus. Nothing to do with your works, nothing to do with how you do them, nothing to do with how clean you keep your house, your car, right? The blessedness in your life, and David said it very well, the blessedness of a man whose sins God has forgiven, whose iniquity God remembers no more, right? Because it's based solely on what Jesus Christ has done. You know, I am gonna read just one more verse to you. Isaiah 54 and verse number 9. It says, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn," and God would never break his word, right? "He's sworn that he would not be angry with you." So just let's stop there just for a second. That he would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, right? That would God ever be angry with me? Right? Because that's something that if you just ask Christians, generally speaking, or even non-Christians, can God get angry with you? I think, sadly, majority of people would say, sure, right? That God could be angry with you. But what we don't see is that how could God be angry with you, right, when he is actually inclined towards you always because of your faith in Jesus? In other words, there is never a time that God is not inclined towards you to bless you, right? That God is not inclined towards you to see you prosper, to see you be in health. Regardless of how you ate years ago, regardless of how you didn't take care of your body years ago, you know, like we think that if I work out and I take care of my body, then I have a leg to stand on to ask God, right, that by his power on the inside of me that I could be made well. People don't actually believe that they could just receive health to their body just because it's part of the covenant that they have with God. It's part of their inheritance that they received through Jesus Christ. They actually think that you cannot be made well if you continue to eat the way, you know, if you continue to eat poorly, you know, how can God help you when you're the one that's damaging your health? But the thing is, we were the one that were damaging everything. We have always been the problem. There was never a day that we weren't the problem, right? We have always been the problem. That is why the covenant that we have with God could have nothing to do with us, right? It had to be, right? It had to be the mediator and the surety of our covenant had to be Jesus and could not be me. So that means, and again, this is going to be unpopular with people, but if you are a person of faith in Jesus Christ, it should be an easy pill to swallow, right? Your healing in your physical body has nothing at all to do with how you eat. Nothing at all to do with how you eat, right? Now, today, we take care of this body and we want to eat well because we don't have full knowledge. But let's not mix up apples and oranges, right? Let's not mix up apples and oranges. The reason why you eat and you should try to eat well is because you don't have full knowledge. But if you had full knowledge, you could have viper's poison for dinner and it will not damage you. It will not hurt you. Right? You could eat the venom of a snake for dinner, right? Or with your dinner if you want to drink it, and it won't do anything to you. Why? Because healing to your physical body has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with your faith in the mediator who established the covenant, right? It's not about going out there and trying to prove a point to people and having vipers bite you to show how you have a covenant with God. The point is that what we receive from heaven has nothing to do with our works. We have a covenant with God that is based only on what Jesus Christ has done. So he said, "I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed." In other words, this whole earth could dissolve and will one day. "But my kindness," listen, "but my kindness towards you," he says, "my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you," right? His covenant He said, it'll never depart from you. My kindness towards you, the way I'm inclined towards you to see you prosper always, the favor that you have in my sight will never depart from you.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.